The Lord our God is holy. Well, I don't know if we even know how to get our head around the holiness of God. I've been in places where I thought I might get a little respect. Have you ever been in places where you thought you might get a little respect, and then you were amazed at how little respect you got when you thought you were going to get at least a little? I taught Bible class at ACU for 19 years, and every now and then students would come in and they would give me some respect. Always kind of threw me off a little bit when they had some respect. I was the ones who would come in and say, "Dr. Sharp," it kind of went, kind of threw me a little bit. Didn't know what to make of that. Figured they were thought they were already in trouble. Had a fellow tell me one time when he had been pretty off the cuff with me, which, you know, I'm not too highfalutin, but he kind of surprised me with some things he said. I said, "So you don't really respect much of anything?" He said, "I don't respect anything until it earns my respect. Nobody begins with respect with me." And I thought, marriageable? Not. Can you imagine going on a date with this guy? Can you imagine raising this child? Can you imagine taking him into the woods and leaving him with only a small can of peanut butter and very old crackers? He'd be okay once he got out of the sack. It's difficult when you run into an age where it appears that no one is given respect, and people feel awkward. They feel like they've moved across some kind of barrier when they offer someone respect. I don't know if you were taught to say yes ma'am and no ma'am, yes sir, no sir. I don't know if you were taught that. I say yes sir to small children. It was emblazoned in me. You were respectful teachers, and there was this hierarchy of people in the world that were due your respect. You respected the policeman, you respected the fireman, you respected the soldiers, you respected the people who were in government. Now no one thinks you have to respect anyone. And we have this so thoroughly democratized world, boy that's fancy, that we have become level at the lowest level, not at the highest. We have become equals, but equals among very low value folks. We don't think we honor anybody, and we're surrounded by people that don't think they ought to honor us. There is hardly any respect left. If you noticed, if you respect, it's difficult. And into the context of what it feels like to preach and teach to a world that thinks it gets its respect from scoring high in a video game, into that world, the Lord says, this is the way we pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Holy be your name. We see you, Lord, as being different from what we are. We see you as being our Father who art in heaven. You are different. You are transcendent. You are above us. You are not like us. You are better than we are. You are deserving of all of our glory and our praise because you are the creator and the sustainer of our life. You are the giver of our Savior Jesus Christ. You are the one who has given His life, His flesh, His blood. You're the one who raised Him from the dead. You're the one who has given salvation. You're the one who has offered us forgiveness by His blood and put your Holy Spirit in us, and it is you, Father, who are building for us a place where we can be eternity. Hallowed be your name. Is there a reason for us to stand before the holiness of God and say, "Oh God, you are holy"? There is. God is holy. If you read the Revelation material in chapters 4 and 5, the language is holy, holy, holy. The creatures around the throne, holy, holy, holy. The elders around the throne, holy, holy, holy. And the whole overwhelming subtext of the whole book of Revelation. Disciples, martyrs, angels, all cry, holy God. Our God is not holy by definition. He has defined Himself on the basis of His holy and mighty acts. In Psalm chapter 105, Psalm 105, listen. Give thanks to the Lord. Call on His name. Make known among the nations what He has done. Sing to Him. Sing praise to Him. Tell of all His wonderful acts. Glory in His holy name. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. Look to the Lord in His strength. Seek His face always. Glory in His holy name. Why? Not because He is good by definition, but because He has defined Himself as holy and good and deserving of praise and adoration by what He has done. Not only that, if you read the Old Testament, you find these names for God that are really names for what He's done. He is, you are our deliverer. You're our rock. You're our salvation. You're the God who heals. You're the God who hears. You're the God who listens. You're the God who saves. You're the God of the army. You're the God of deliverance. You are the God who. You're the God who. It is that capacity to be the God who acts that causes people to stop and honor God for what He is. Listen to the end of Habakkuk 2. You probably have been just reading Habakkuk earlier this morning. But listen, of what value is an idol since a man carved it, or an image that teaches lies? For he who makes it trusts in his own creation. He makes idols that cannot speak. Woe to him who says to wood, come to life. Or to lifeless stone, wake up. Can it give guidance? It's covered with gold and silver. There's no breath in it. But the Lord is in His holy temple. Let all the earth be silent before Him. Psalm 115 says that those who make such idols become like them. If you have a dead God, you become a dead person. But if you serve the living God, the God who is named by His mighty actions, you, in serving holy God, can become a person of remarkable action. And so you come before God in holy fear, in holy love, in holy respect. When Jesus teaches His disciples to pray, it is with that beginning place that He begins that prayer. Hallowed be Your name. Let's sing. The Lord is in His holy temple. Let all the earth keep silent before Him. Keep silent, keep silent. Holy God doesn't want to be holy in and of Himself, but He wants to call people around Him who will also be holy, different, separate, extraordinary, given to the purposes of heaven's righteous goals. Mercy, love, goodness, righteousness, forgiveness. And He calls these people to holiness by His great grace. Listen to this from 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13 through 16. This is a word to us. Strangers and sojourners in the world, hear this. Therefore, with minds that are alert and fully sober, set your hope on the grace to be brought to you when Jesus Christ is revealed at His coming. You are saved by grace. You are living in grace. You are living toward grace. There is a grace that is waiting for you. So what do you do now? As those who are in grace, living in grace, living toward grace, as obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance, but just as He who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, "Be holy, because I am holy." I want you to know this morning that I believe with all my heart, whatever good that is, that those who are taught to pray, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name," in the very moment that they confess the holiness of God's name, they also confess God's holy agenda for their own life. That I cannot pray, "Hallowed be your name," without understanding that God's holy name is calling out to me that I would grow in holiness as I live to the praise and glory of His name. And that holiness requires me to look at my life and chase around in there and find these buckets of unholiness that are stacked around in there. Because you see, it would be one thing if grace was one of those things where you said, "Grace calls holy God to just love me holy the way I am. W-H-O-L-L-Y. Just holy me." That would have been a good slide. Holy me. H-O-L-L-Y. That I would sing that invitation song, "Just as I am is how I'm going to stay." Because the grace of God is loaded. If it's a good grace, if it's a great grace, if it's a holy grace, if God is going to be hallowed in my name, He needs to leave me alone. But God is not holy because He can leave us alone. He is holy because in His holiness He is led to act out of His holy name to create holiness in the world. Read all of Leviticus and count how many times the word holy appears in Leviticus. Read the Psalms and hear the refrains of holiness of God and know that out of the holiness of God comes His agenda for our life, that we would be holy as He is holy. And so we are called as a church to be holy church. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16. One of those 3:16s in the Bible that will annoy you if you let it. He says, "Don't you know that you yourselves, you plural, are God's temple, and that God's Spirit lives in you? If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy him, for God's temple is sacred." Sacred. It is holy. "And you are that temple." Wouldn't it be interesting if out on the front we had a little sign that said, "God's Holy Church." Bit by bit, little by little, day by day, transformation by transformation, this body of Christians is becoming a more holy sanctuary for God by His grace and His constant companionship. What do you want to be as a church? We want to be fancy.
No, that's okay.
We want to be innovative.
Well, that's okay.
What do you really want to be? What do you really want to be as a body of Christians? You want to be a temple of holy, faithful people growing up to a sanctuary for holy God. That everything you do, everything you decide, every move you make, every prayer you pray, everything you do in worship, everything you do in ministry, everything you do on Sunday, everything you do outside of Sunday, everything you do as a church is involved in exalting the holiness of God and living it out in our life. And not only is that true, but each one of us individually is a temple for holiness. In this kind of tawdry little passage over in 1 Corinthians 6 about sexual immorality, that really begins in verse 12, everything is permissible for me, but not everything is beneficial. Everything is permissible, but I will not be mastered by anything. Food for the stomach and stomach for food, but God will destroy them both. And then he goes on to say, God, this body's not meant for sexual immorality, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. He goes on to talk about the goodness of marriage and the goodness of holiness in sexual relations. And then he says in verse 18, flee! It's a small word. Flee from sexual immorality. Not ooch up on it. Don't hover around it. Do some fleeing. And then he says in verse 19, do you not know that your own body, your own flesh and blood, is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God, hallowed be His name. I added the hallowed be His name. But I wanted you to remember that it's the Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name, that is the God who has given you your body and who is calling for your body to be given back to Him as holy temple. And so it calls for all kinds of ethical decisions that you make, and many of those in 1 Corinthians 6 have to do with how you treat your body in the presence of other people's bodies. Really? My holiness comes out in that kind of behavior? The holiness of God comes out in His behavior. The holiness of Eddie in his particular bodily temple comes out in the way that temple behaves. Holiness in essence begets holiness in action. And if you're a person kind of like I am, holy actions generate holy thoughts, generate holy actions that generate holy thoughts. And eventually you don't even know where the loop starts. Our Father, who art in heaven, the Lord is in His holy temple above. The Lord is in His holy temple, the church. The Lord, we pray, is in His holy temple, each one of us. The Lord is in His holy temple. And so when we pray, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Your name, holy be Your name, holy be Your name. May that be true. In the world, yes. Hallowed be Your name, holy in the life and the heart of the church. Yes. Hallowed be Your name in my life and in my actions. Yes. Hallowed be Your name. May God bless us as we make a place in our heart for holy God. If you need to come closer to Holy God this morning, there's anything that we can help you with, come down here. We'll be glad to help you. Let's stand and sing together.